Well, we've been reading part of a reading project, a three-month project in which we've been reading through the book of Romans. And this last week or so, the whole project is reading through the New Testament. And we've been reading from Romans, now in 1 Corinthians. This morning, I want to be preaching from one of those readings that we've had in the last week or so, from Romans chapter 12. In 1519, there was a Spanish explorer who came to a semi-tropical bay in the south part of what now is Texas. Alonso Alvarez de Pineda. And he gave a name to this bay. And the day that he discovered this bay was a Spanish or a Roman Catholic feast day that has to do with the Lord's Supper. And that feast day is called in Latin Corpus Christi. And that's the reason that we now have a city of some 300,000 plus in the state of Texas that has that name, Corpus Christi. In Latin, the words Corpus Christi mean body. That's the corpus part of that. In Spanish, the word is cuerpo, a body. Corpus, or we get our English word corpse from that word. Corpus Christi, Christ, the body of Christ. And that's part of these readings that we've had in this past week out of Romans. Both Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Incidentally, we're reading from 1 Corinthians this week. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, both speak of the church in terms of being the body of Christ. If you look inside your bulletin on page 3, in place of my column, we have a reading from Romans chapter 12. It's of Romans chapter 12. It's a translation of Romans 12 done by N.T. Wright in his commentary on the book of Romans. And I want this morning to read that whole chapter. So I invite you to, you may want to follow along or you may want to listen as I read Wright's translation of Romans chapter 12. So my dear family, this is my appeal to you by the mercies of God. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and appropriate worship. What's more, don't let yourselves be squeezed into the shape dictated by the present age. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can work out what God's will is. What is good, acceptable, and complete. Through the grace which was given to me, I have this to say to each one of you. Don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. Rather, think soberly, in line with faith, the true standard which God has marked out for each of you. As in one body, we have many limbs and organs, you see. But none of the parts of the body have the same function. So we, many as we are one body in the Messiah. And individually, we belong to one another. Well then, We have gifts that differ in accordance with the grace that has been given to us. And we must use them appropriately. If it is prophecy, we must prophesy according to the pattern of the faith. If it is serving, we must work at our serving. If teaching, at our teaching. If exhortation, at our exhortation. If giving, with generosity. If leading, with energy. If doing acts of kindness, with cheerfulness. Love must be real. Hate what is evil. Stick fast to what is good. Be truly affectionate in showing love for one another. Compete with one another in giving mutual respect. Don't get tired of working hard. Be on fire with the Spirit. Work as slaves for the Lord. Celebrate your hope. Be patient in suffering. Give constant energy to prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people. Make sure you are hospitable to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them. Don't curse them. Celebrate with those who are celebrating. Mourn with the mourners. Come to the same mind with one another. Don't give yourself airs, but associate with the humble. Don't get too clever for yourselves. Never repay anyone evil for evil. Think through what will seem good to everyone who is watching. If it's possible, as far as you can, live at peace with all people. Don't take revenge, my dear people, but allow God's anger room to work. The Bible says, after all, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. If you do this, you will pile up burning coals on his head. Don't let evil conquer you. Rather, conquer evil with good. I think there are some things for us to hear in this passage. One of the things I notice as I listen to this passage, maybe you notice this as well, is the idea, the word body. First of all, I would point out that chapter 12 in some ways is a continuation of what Paul says about baptism in chapter 6. In chapter 6 and verse 12 and in verse 13, listen to what he says in the context of baptism. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members, the parts of your body. Sound familiar, chapter 12? To sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. As someone has said about chapter 6 of Romans, it is about a funeral, and it's about a resurrection. That's what baptism is. It's about a funeral, and it's about a resurrection. You die to yourself, and you bury that old person in the waters of baptism, and you rise up. There's a resurrection in which there's a new creation. There's a new person. And it's in continuation with that idea that in chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, offer your bodies, you individually, each one of you, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. In chapter 4, he uses that word body, but he transitions here to talk about we who have offered our bodies as living sacrifices now become another body. And that is we together. And I would point out, it's the idea, it's plural. It's us. We're a body. We're one body, but we're many members. And in verse 4 of chapter 12, he says, as in one body. We have lots of members. We have limbs. We have organs. But none of the parts of the body have the same function. And so he says in verse 5, but we who are many, we are one body. We who are many, we many who offer our bodies as living sacrifices, we now become this one body. In the Messiah, in Jesus Christ, the anointed one, God's chosen one, we become one body. I notice also as I listen to this passage, that Paul thinks it's important how we think. That our minds, not simply our bodies are important, how we live in this world. The material world is important. Matter matters. But what we think and how we think matters also. And so he says in verse 2, don't let the world squeeze you in the way you think. Be careful who you're listening to. Because whoever you listen to is going to put the squeeze on you. It'll squeeze your thinking. It'll conform your thinking into how they think. Be careful who you listen to. Be sure you're listening to God. I think that's one reason it's important to have a reading project like we've got right now. Give God a chance to say some things to you. Don't just listen to our world. The world will squeeze you. Put the squeeze on you. Squeeze how you think. He says, no, what's important, verse 2, is transformation of your mind. You're never too young, you're never too old to have your mind transformed. Your mind renewed. Why? Because then, it's only then. As your mind is renewed and as you're transformed, that you really start to figure out what God's will is. Verse 3, he says, he has some warning about thinking. Be careful that you don't think too highly of yourself. Think real. Think truly, soberly, by the true standard. Think about who you are. Before God, under the grace of Christ, think who you are. And then he says in verse 16, this idea of your mind and your thinking shows up again. Where he says in verse 16, come to the same mind. You're one body, you're many parts, this one body, but you also need to have the same mind with one another. And he tells you what he means by that. It's that to have one mind is to say, there's more to this world than me. And other people are more important than I am. That's what verse 16 tells us, doesn't it? Come and to the same mind with one another. And what he means is, don't give yourself airs. Don't put your nose up in the air when it comes to consideration of others. Be willing to associate with the humble. That's what it means to have the same mind with one another. I like the way N.T. Wright translates that last part of verse 16. Don't get too clever for yourselves. Don't think you're all that. That's another way that that's said today. Don't think you're all that. Be careful how you think. Be careful how you live in this material world, but also be careful how you think. And then I hear in this passage as well some concern for the good. Do you notice that as we read through there? The word good, how it recurs in verse 2. The renewing of your mind so that you can work out what God's will is. What is good? That phrase. What is good? What is acceptable? What is perfect? Yours may say it's the idea of completeness, filled out, maturity. What is good? It's important as you offer your bodies as living sacrifices and as your mind is renewed and transformed, there's a target for that. Why offer your bodies as living sacrifices? Why is it that you should be concerned about your thinking and about your mind? It's because God wants us to do good, to be good, to live out God's good in this world, to figure out what God's will is. What is good, he says at the end of verse 2. That phrase, what is good, shows up again in verse 9. Where he says, this kind of rule of thumb, love what's real, what's actual. Hate what is evil. And he says, cling to, stick fast to, right translates it, what is good. Hang in there with what is good, what is right. And then verse 17, that phrase shows up again. Where Paul says, people may do evil toward you. I think underlying that idea is, we did see that with Jesus after all. People treated him in an evil way. Shouldn't surprise us if we're going to follow Jesus. We may encounter some evil. But he says, never repay evil with evil. And he talks about thinking again in verse 17. Think it through. Think through concerning what will seem good to others. It's not simply that we do what is good, but we stop and we think about, how's this going to look to the outsider who is not a Christian? Will they look at you and say, now there's a lot in this world that's evil, there's a lot in this world that doesn't count for much, but there's something good in this world. The world is watching, Paul says in verse 17. And we need to be concerned not simply that we do what is good, but that we do what looks good. The final verse in this passage, the word good shows up again. And behind this verse, it seems to me it's war language. We're at war. But it's the war between good and evil. It's a war that's been going on since the garden. Good and evil. And Paul says, here's why you need to be offering your bodies as living sacrifices. Here's why you need to be concerned about the transformation of your mind. Here's why you should be concerned about what is good. It's because there is an ongoing war between good and evil. Any of you notice that? Which side are you on? See, I think if you're not concerned about the transformation of your mind and you're not offering daily your body as a living sacrifice, you may be on the wrong side in that war. Don't let evil conquer you. Well, how do you conquer evil? Remember, he's already said, don't repay evil for evil. How do you conquer evil? How do you conquer all the evil in our world? People do what's wrong. How do you conquer that? Paul thinks you do that by doing what's good. Now, you may have other ideas. I don't know. I'm going to go with Paul on that. I would commend that same stance to you. What is our answer to the evil in this world? Is it passing laws that try to force people to conform to what's good rather than evil? There's a place for law, but that's, you know what's going to make the difference is to change hearts. And the way to change hearts is when those who are caught up in evil finally catch a glimpse of what's good. What's good is when that happens when people offer their bodies as living sacrifices. And people whose thinking gets transformed because they won't let the world squeeze their thinking into the shape of the world. We are the body of Christ. You ever think about bodies? Bodies matter. Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Just think about things that bodies do, human bodies. Bodies, there's beating, like hearts that beat. There's gripping. There's seeing. Absorbing. Rubbing. And y'all, the rest of you get some sore spots. Let me just rub that hand a little bit with this other hand. Let's see if that'll help a little. Swallowing. Hearing. That, for some, that's a memory. Walking. Lifting. Bodies do lots of things. The various parts of our body, does lots of different things. Not every part of the body is in on all of those things. And the same is true for us as the body of Christ. We have one main goal, and that is to do what's good. To conquer evil with good. But as the body of Christ, we have lots of different ways of doing this. And each one of us has maybe a different role to play as a part of the body of Christ. If you think about the things that this body of Christ does. Sometimes it's sowing. Sometimes it's feeding. Sometimes it's giving. And sometimes it's paying. And sometimes it's smiling. And sometimes it's embracing. Sometimes it's weeping. Sometimes it's making, like making a bed for somebody, like we did when Family Promise was staying in our building. Sometimes it's mopping. Sometimes it's cleaning. Sometimes it's painting, and sometimes it's repairing, and sometimes it's just sitting. And sometimes it's welcoming. And sometimes it's seeking. And we could go on and on. There's lots of things that this body of Christ does at North A. Why? Because there's a war going on. And we don't all have the same part to play in this war, but we have a common effort to do what's good and to be what's good in this world. There's a war going on between good and evil. May God help us this week to remember the war and to remember to fight the war the right way. May God help us to be careful in our thinking and what we allow to shape our thinking. May God help us to be faithful day by day as we offer our bodies as the living sacrifice so that we will live out being the various members of the body of Christ. May God give us faith and hope and love.